Unbranded Podcast, and I'm your host, Susie Dean. I'm so grateful to have you on this journey with me. And by journey, it's a journey of self-discovery, of learning about others, reigniting the passions I've long had but never had the time to dive into until now. If you're here, I'm sure you also have an interest in plant magic, living in alignment with nature, spirituality, and the magic that surrounds us that we don't see but works constantly in our lives. And I'm sure you also consider yourself a little bit woo-woo. So sit crisscross applesauce, cleanse your space, set up your diffuser with some oils that uplift you, and enjoy while we have interesting conversations with interesting people on Unbranded with Susie Dean. Good morning. It is I. It is Friday, 6:34 a.m. And I slept great, in case you were wondering. And I woke up, you know, a little bit awake around 6 o'clock. Winter starts jumping on my face to go outside, but I just kept snapping him away and cuddling with Gracie. And then I was like, you know what? I love waking up early. I just wanted a few more cuddles, and I should just go up into my office and get my part two, or perhaps just the second half of my 30 lessons as I turn 30 podcast going. Because knowing me, I would keep putting it off and dreading it, especially once the baby wakes up and Robbie's working and I'm hustling around, like doing stuff with Hawthorne and getting ready for his birthday party tomorrow and all that. So I thought this was the perfect time. If you didn't watch, or if you don't follow me on Instagram, yesterday we had an eventful evening after my first recording. Literally stopped recording, looked at my phone. Robbie had sent a family group chat picture of a snake on our backyard and was like, snakes are Robbie's biggest fear. Biggest. And he will be the first one to tell you, and he'll be the first one to run away. Like, he has no shame about being terrified of snakes. So he had sent it 2 minutes earlier, and I knew Robbie's not okay. So thank goodness I ended when I did. I am not really afraid of snakes. I'm not really afraid of a lot of wildlife. I think maybe as I became more woo-woo, I was like, all right, girl, you need to walk the talk and talk the walk. So if you're going to be one with nature, you need to be one with nature. And so I don't really have a problem with wildlife. I think that they react a lot of times to your energy. And if you approach something like a snake or a beehive and you're terrified or you're angry or you're nervous, they're going to read that and react accordingly. But if you approach curiously and happily and excitedly, they're going to match that energy. So I went on live on Instagram because I don't have a snake identifier app. And of course, we are in Florida. And most of the snakes here are fine, but sometimes they are not. So I went on live and I asked my friends, what kind of snake is this? And it was just a harmless, friendly corn snake. It did, according to some people who know more than I do, look like a copperhead, which is a bad snake. Well, not a bad snake, but dangerous. And it was just a little corn snake, so I was advised for how to pick it up appropriately. The corn snake and I bonded. It hugged me. I told him it was wonderful. Robbie was freaking out the whole time. And then I remembered my friend, my cousin Rachel, has a friend who's also my friend named Becca, who had a corn snake pet in college named McCain. And that was the first, one of the first snakes that I met and held and bonded with. And it was the same one. So we had a grand old time. It was a very funny live. It was 7 minutes. So if you want to hop on my stories and or my Facebook or Instagram page and watch that, you will get a little kick, I am sure. Well, with that being said, in my last podcast episode, part one, I loftily set out to talk about 30 lessons that I have learned in my 30 years, because I turn 30 tomorrow, Saturday, the day that you are probably listening to this, September 7th. And I got through 10. Maybe it's just because I'm a lovely storyteller, but the episode was an hour. So I was like, I'm not going to put them through this 3 hours of lessons. So I decided to break it up, and you'll get some bonus episodes this week. And as I reflected, I was like, you know what? Yesterday I had like a big buildup. We talked a lot about my childhood, birthday parties, aging, and the like. So perhaps we will finish out today, but I was dedicated to finishing this out because to toot my own horn, and we'll talk about that later, I think I've got a lot of good wisdom to impart on you. So without further ado, let's move on to lesson 11, and that is, people are nuanced, stop putting them in boxes. This is not news to you guys because I talk about this all the time. I don't have much to say about it. I think that it speaks for itself. I have been lucky enough to be surrounded by so many people, like prominent people in my life growing up, who never seamlessly fit into boxes, and people who I would meet and know and be like, okay, you are the band kid, and later find out, yes, they are the band kid, and I had all these assumptions about band kids, and then find out that they do something that's like totally contradictory to my schema, my brain box of band kids. And then I was like, oh, they're both. And I had this cognitive dissonance moment, like, how can that exist? And the more I saw that, the more I was like, okay, well, so much of my childhood and early adolescence I have spent purposely trying to fit into a box. I really wanted to be the cool girl growing up. I was not popular in elementary school and middle school. I went to a very small school, so popular is like very relative. But I had always had bigger goals for myself in terms of being seen and not pushed to the side. And so I tried to fit into the cool girl box and wear the designer clothes and do the cool girl things and talk to the boys and whatever I thought the cool girls were doing. And once I was in high school, I was like, you know what's cooler than fitting into the box of a cool girl is just being myself. And I know that sounds cheesy, but like, I started really leaning into everything that I was that contradicted the boxes that people put me in, or that I put people in, or that the general public put those in. And I found that being myself and leaning into all things that I was interested in and all things that I was actually way cooler, because people don't do that. People are trained to put themselves in boxes instead of leaning into all that they are. And so when someone does that, it's unusual. People stare at it. People are curious. People want to know more. So I was just a girl in high school that wore dresses every Wednesday and watched football and went to football games and understood football every Saturday and played football and also listened to hip hop and rap music in my Infiniti SUV that had a monogram on the back. And I was also like a really good student. So all these things that seemingly fit in different boxes were all me. And that was hard for people to wrap their heads around, but it was also really cool because I was just a walking contradiction. And I still do that today. And that's how you guys know me as. I'm Christian, and I'm woo-woo and spiritual. And I wear hippie clothes and crystals, and I also wear like Lily Pulitzer and Brooks Brothers. And I listen to Noah Kahan and Hozier, and I listen to Cardi B, and I watch football, and I do herbalism. I'm learning herbalism. And what else do I do that's odd? Odd to the boxes. I don't know. I'm sure if I'm given enough time, I can come up with a whole bunch of things that I do. But I think as we get older, we lean more into that and become more comfortable with who we are and the fact that we don't fit into boxes and that we have a lot of parts of ourselves that are unusual when put together on a piece of paper, and we become more comfortable with that, and thus we walk more into ourselves and attract more people that are like us and that we like. But for anyone listening that might be of a younger generation, or just, oh my God, that makes me sound old, that might be younger than me and not in that space yet, it is much cooler to lean into the nuance of yourself and be confident about it. And that goes both ways. So don't put yourself in a box. Lean into everything that is different and contradictory about you, and know that that is the same truth for everyone you come into contact with. And the quicker you can meet someone as they are, instead of immediately putting someone into a preconceived idea of who they should be and how they should act, meet them with curiosity. And I'm sure that this has an evolutionary purpose where we needed to put people in boxes immediately to keep ourselves safe and to figure out what to expect in the future and if a person could be trusted. But that's not necessary anymore. So I'm unlearning, still unlearning to do that myself. Related to that, watch your judgment. You never know what someone else has going on. This is a challenging one. I have one of my biggest shadows is judging other people. And I judge people in a lot of ways. I'm not going to shy away from things that, you know, I feel shameful about myself for. We all have aspects of ourselves that we're not proud of, and I'm not going to pretend that I don't have any. I judge people for how they act. I judge people for how they treat others. I judge people for how they act in a work setting. I judge people for the decisions that they make that seem totally out of pocket and irresponsible. I judge people for a lot of things all the time, but I'm learning over and over and over again that it's really pointless, because over and over and over again, I have been making a judgment about someone and then quickly afterwards finding out a situation that they are in, or a way that they were raised, or, you know, an experience that they recently had, or better yet, I have been finding myself in similar situations and thinking to myself, oh, I would have acted the same way that person did, the person that I judged, and from this situation. And they probably were in this situation and I just didn't know it. And now I'm the person, follow along, I'm the person that someone else is potentially judging, the person that I judged, and that person that is judging me has no idea what is causing me to act this way. I don't have really a concrete example, but let's say you have friends that are in relationships with someone and they meet and it's really fast and furious, and before you know it, they are engaged, and you're like, whoa, 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 let's pump the brakes here. Don't you want to, like, meet each other's families? Don't you want to, like, go through some hardship together, learn how you work as a team when you're facing conflict, learn what the other person is like at their lowest, lowest point and how you can work together through that, and if that's something that you can live with for the rest of your life? Like, don't you want to prepare? And I'm a big judger of people that get married that quickly, but there are countless conversations going on behind the scenes that I don't know about. And there are countless experiences that both of those people might have had that I don't know about. Like maybe both of those people have dated plenty of people in the past to the point that they know exactly what they're looking for, what they're not looking for. Maybe they've had so much hardship in the past, more than the average person, that they know who they are. They know their own values. They have discovered themselves. They know how they can show up in relationship. They know how to conflict resolve. So all of the things that I had to and wanted to do with Robbie, which was learn conflict resolution with his personality, go through hardship with him, figure out what we were both like at our lowest, figure out what we were both like at our most shameful, see how our family is intermingled, that might not be necessary for other people because maybe they super sped it in their other earlier life experiences. And here I am judging them when the decisions that they're making totally make sense. In other words, you never have the full picture of someone's life, experiences, decisions. So if someone is making a decision that you're judging, if someone is treating you a way that you're judging, if someone is making a general decision that you are judging, I am still learning this. Stop judging that, because there's so much more going into that than meets the eye, that's under the surface, that I bet if you knew, you would totally understand. And you would stop wasting that low-level energy judging the other person and could instead be bopping around in high-level fairy woo-woo spiritual energy. 13, water, sleep, and sunshine are foundational to your health. I was going to add like sleep and gut. I was going to be just like sleep and gut health are foundational to your health, but I don't know a lot about gut health, but every health podcast that I listen to always talks about sleep and gut health, but I'm not a doctor, so I can't really expand upon that. So I'm just sticking with water, sleep, and sunshine. So get those in order now. You don't know what you're missing out on until you have like a really good night of sleep. You just like anything that we do that's healthy, you don't understand how healthy and helpful spending a lot of time in the sunshine is until you do it after spending weeks in a work environment under fluorescent lights where you don't get to experience a lot of sunlight during the day. You don't realize how much more energy and clarity you have until you've spent weeks dehydrated without knowing it, and then you spend a couple days in a row drinking like 100 ounces of water, and then you're like, oh my God, I can see clearly now, the dehydration is gone. You don't know how much more optimally you perform cognitively and how much more healthy you are and how much better your body can work to restore itself until you've spent years potentially living on 4 to 6 hours of light sleep, falling asleep with a blue light phone in your face, until you establish a sleep routine where you get off your phone 2 hours before bed, you stop eating 2 hours before bed, you have a hot bath to relax your muscles before bed, and then you go to sleep and you're in a deep sleep all night. You don't even wake up to go to the bathroom, and then you wake up after 8 to 10 hours and you feel refreshed and you bop around through the day and you're so creative and your energy is sustained and you're talking to people like you're the coolest person in the world, and you are like Susie, where you meet people and you have a sleepover with them, and then they're like, oh my God, how do you have this much energy? How do you live like this? And you just like, I get good sleep. And I take my sleep seriously and I drink a lot of water and I get in the sunlight. So eyes in the morning sunlight, people. Drink water before your coffee. I don't always do that. In fact, 85% of the time, I drink coffee immediately when I wake up. That reminder is just as much for me as it is for you. Get your feet in the grass. Take time to build a reliable, beautiful, healthy nighttime routine to prepare yourself for wonderful sleep, and things will fall into place and you will feel incredible. It's all a part of one of the first lessons that I gave you. Treat your body like an ally. When you are giving your body what it needs and treating it with care and treating it like a friend, it will do the same for you. The more sleep, the more water, the more sunlight, the more you focus on gut health that you do, the more your body can recalibrate and come back to its baseline, thriving, vital center to serve you. Because I'm a strong believer that your body wants to live. And if your body is in a state where it's not producing as much health as it could be, something's missing and it's communicating with you. I need help. How can we work together to make this better? And sleep and gut health are your two foundational sources of health, and water and sunshine don't hurt. Everything is made up. Now, you hear me talk about on my stories a lot, time is fake. And that's not a joke. Like, time is fake. Time, standard time, as we know it today, was made up in, I believe, the 1880s when trains were invented, and the train schedules all had to be on the same basic schedule as they traveled through time zones. So we had to create standard time, Eastern Standard Time, Mountain Standard Time, Pacific Standard Time, Central Standard Time. And that is how we ensured that trains are arriving at similar times and not crashing into each other and not causing a pileup. It was literally made up. Now, the sun hitting the middle of the sky in the middle of the day, that's not made up. But what we call it is made up. And maybe it's because I'm a sociology major. Maybe it's because I worked on a research project with my professor literally about how everything was made up. But everything was made up. And I see these people who talk about, like, I'm going to try not to get political. Okay. So who are like, no, boys, you can't wear nail polish. That is for girls. Well, who says that's for girls? Who says nail polish is for girls? That is a concept that was made up by the general public that said, oh, nail polish, I'm going to market this towards women. And then everyone was like, okay, nail polish is for women. And then everyone agreed upon that. And then now when men and boys wear nail polish, we're like, oh my God, wrong, bad. But what inherently about nail polish is for the girls? Nothing. It's literally made up. Our societal rules and expectations, literally made up. It's all stuff that someone said, this is what you do. And everyone else said, okay, because we love a herd mentality. We love being told what to do and believe. And everyone said, okay. And when someone goes against it, people get uncomfortable because people don't like to be faced with the fact that they are thinking according to some made-up notion that everybody agreed with. Why aren't you going along with the crowd? Why aren't you with the herd? Why aren't you doing what we've always done because we've always done it? Why are you thinking critically? Why are you getting outside of the box? And when it comes back to this specifically, I think back to times in, like, what was it? Like the 20s, the early 1900s, when women weren't allowed socially to wear pants. Because women don't wear pants, women wear skirts and they don't show their ankles. Why is there something about pants that is inherently masculine? Are pants boys? Do pants have chromosomes? And we look back and we're like, women today wearing pants, wearing jeans, wearing pantsuits. And we're like, wasn't that ridiculous that there was so much shame put upon women when they chose in bravery to step out in public in pants and face the ridicule of others? Yeah, it was ridiculous because who made that up? Someone made up the rule that pants are for men, not for women. And then everybody was like, okay, pants are for men, not for women. And they all agreed. And there was no rule about it. And then women wore pants. And everybody was like, oh my God, why? You're breaking the rules. You're breaking the unspoken societal rules that we all decided on and that we're all abiding by. Why are you going outside of the box? Why are you critically thinking about this? It's all made up, guys. And then lo and behold, it disintegrated because it was never real to begin with. It was all something that everybody got together and was like, oh, this is the new thing. We're all going to do it. We're all going to believe this. We're all going to shame people that don't abide by this. And it's just a way for people to feel together. It's the herd mentality. It helps people feel like they belong, but that doesn't change the fact that it was made up. And to make this a little bit broader and less about men and women, state lines made up. They don't exist. When you cross state lines, is there like a cut in the earth where one state ends and another begins? There are signs. There might be a painted yellow line that you can step over so you can be in two states at once. But is it real? No. It's lines that were created by men when they were creating maps to delineate, this is mine, this is yours, this is where we belong, don't pass here. I'm going to buy this land and this is mine. But is it actually real? Is it tangible? No. People are real. Emotions are real. Identity of an individual person is real and fluid. And I just think that we walk through this world not really critically thinking about why we are following the expectations that we are following when they, in reality, were just all made up. Everything's fake. So I remember my friend Ariel, Mrs. Frazzled, on social media had like a really mini series. And she was like, there are no rules. Everything's made up. And she went to Taco Bell. And then she also went to Wendy's. And then she came home and she got in the shower with all of her clothes on and she started eating her Taco Bell. She was like, everything's made up. There are no rules. You can do literally whatever you want. So things that make us feel a little bit uncomfortable when we see them or when we come across them, think to yourself, why am I feeling this way? Is there something inherent about this that makes me angry or is doing wrong to other people? Or am I just reacting negatively to a rule that someone made up that I always followed and didn't think twice about, and someone is not following that rule and that makes me uncomfortable? Or even better yet, look at that person and say, that's inspirational. They're going outside of the box, regardless of the ridicule that they might face, and they are not abiding by the made-up rules. And I think that's cool, and I'm going to do that. On a lighter note, your life doesn't end when you have a child. This one I'm very passionate about because I thought this way for a long time, and I wouldn't say it prevented me from having a child. I had decided to get pregnant at the perfect time. But for a long time, I thought to myself, like, I want to get all of these things done and then have a child because I know I won't be able to once I have a child. I know I won't be able to travel as much. And I'd never traveled before I had a child anyway. I know that I won't be able to finish my education if I have a child, which I didn't end up getting my PhD anyway. I won't be able to you know, have fun and dress the way that I want to. I'll have to dress like a mom and I won't be able to hang out with my friends and I won't be able to do cool things. But none of that is true. You have a baby, and if you want to, you can still have your personality. You just have an upgrade. You have an upgrade in your personality. You have an upgrade in who you are. You learn more about yourself. You become more into yourself. And if you choose not to have a child, like, don't listen to that. That's like, doesn't apply. I totally respect people who choose not to have children. But if you're being held back from having a child that you want because you think your life is going to end, or if you're a mother in the throes of motherhood, thinking because you've been taught that mothers lose their personality and everything that they are in motherhood, I can sit here and tell you that is not true. Choose otherwise. I had my baby and I still shotgun beers. I had my baby and I've traveled out of the country twice and gone to different states that I've never been to multiple times already. I had a baby and I still hang out with friends and I still do cool stuff and I still dress the way that I want to and I don't have Miss Rachel or Bluey talking in the background all day in my home causing me a headache. I still watch New Girl and I still watch Schitt's Creek and I still listen to Cardi B in the car and I still listen to Noah Kahan in the car. And like, things have changed. Yes, sure. When I make decisions to do something, I have to make sure that my child is taken care of. And if I travel somewhere, I have to make sure my child is being watched by someone. And if I am getting ready, I do have to be a little bit more mindful about what I'm wearing because sometimes Hawthorne pulls my shirt down or pulls my earrings. But I think the biggest lie we've told women is that they need to be martyrs to motherhood, as Glennon Doyle says, and they are no longer allowed. They lose their fun card and they no longer are allowed to be themselves and to have fun and be cool. And that's not true. And that's why when I was pregnant and I was in my third trimester, so big, just yearning to buy clothes that fit and were like trendy and just yearning to go out and be with friends and socialize, I started talking about how excited I was going to be in my MILF era. Because once I had a child, that didn't mean that I lost everything that I was before. That didn't mean that I lost Susie to become mother. It just means that I upgraded from Susie to MILF. I just had to go feed my child. I'm back. Well, I think we were talking about the MILF era. This is why at the end of my pregnancy, I started talking about the MILF era. Because entering motherhood is an upgrade. And you can't be a MILF if you don't have a kid of some kind. So I think that when you're entering motherhood, it, like so much else, is all about your mindset. Are you going to enter motherhood and expect that you lose your sparkle and you lose your personality and you lose your opportunity to hang out with friends because you have to be controlled by nap times and feeding times and everything in your life becomes boring and dull because all you're listening to all day long is Miss Rachel songs and Bluey? And are you going to lose your social life because you are tied to your house all the time because you're scared to bring your kid to a restaurant because they might cry? Or are you going to enter motherhood as, look at this awesome new buddy that I have, and I get to dress up my body again in clothes that I love and feel confident in because I don't have this big belly, and I can match my outfits with my child, and I can bring my child to events with my friends and pool parties and teach them how to adapt and to take their naps in my arms and bring food for them to eat when they're ready to eat it and not, you know, be stuck to my house because I'm so fearful of my child freaking out in public or whatever the case may be. And I think that if that's your mindset and everyone follows suit, you're going to have a much more joyous entry to motherhood and probably a much more chill child. But if anyone is out there wondering if they should have a child and they want a child, but they want to put it off because they think that they're going to lose so much in order to gain so much, and that's the only thing holding you back, don't let it. You're not losing. You're gaining, and then you're gaining even more. And in the areas where you think you're losing, you're not losing. You're just upgrading and transforming. And that's so dope. Next step, it's not too late. You have time. You are on the most perfect timeline. I've been hearing this fear of other people repeated a lot lately, and the remedy repeated a lot lately in different ways through podcasts, through conversations that I have with people, through books, through conversations I overhear, either people saying, it's too late, I should have done this by now, I can't start that now, I'm too old, and other people saying, you know, I think I'm gonna start a new business at like 45. And I am so inspired by that because we have these arbitrary timelines of times that we need to accomplish certain things that, again, are made up and are made up based on other people's timelines or what society says. And I just want to encourage everyone that it's never too late. We have to live life to the fullest. We don't know what's going to happen. We can assume and hope that we have a whole lifetime ahead of us, but we want to live assuming so in some ways. You know what I mean? We don't want to live the life that we do have, rushing to fulfill things that aren't meant to be fulfilled yet, or forcing ourselves to do things and be stressed about doing them by a certain time. We don't want to live our lives hating ourselves for not making it to something yet. And I have a couple of examples for this. Chapel Roan is very popular right now. At least she is for me. You can take H-O-T-T-O-G-O. You can take me home to go. That was wonderful singing. You're welcome. She's all the rage right now. All her songs are just like popping up on my Instagram, audio suggestions. It's 2024. Did you know that she released her first song in 2015? 9 years ago? And perhaps you were following her then. And a lot of people were. A lot of people knew who she was. But her acclaim, what is that the right word? All of her success, her blow up, is happening 9 years later. There's plenty of time. There's plenty of time. Keep chipping away. And I know I'm kind of like veering from my original piece of advice, but I think it's all in the same vein. Sabrina Carpenter, all the rage right now. All of her songs. Yes, I know she was an actress on Disney Channel for a while, but what is she known for now? Singing. Espresso. Mi espresso. I don't really actually know that song. I don't listen to it. But guess what? She released her first song in 2014. And a lot of you probably knew that, but most of us probably didn't. And it is 10 years later. And here she is. Everyone knows her name. Everyone's singing her songs. She's on all the magazines. She's popping up on my Explore page. Something new happened with her. We're all following her. Your time is coming. the thing that you want to accomplish or have always wanted to accomplish is not bound by time, because time is made up. It is going to come through when it is meant to come through. The only thing that you can do, you have a couple of options. You can hate yourself and be down on yourself for not making it to that accomplishment yet. You can stress yourself out by running and running and hustling and grinding to try to make it happen on your timeline. Or you can just keep bopping along, chipping away, doing what you always do, normally do, acting as everything is normal, not being confined by time, and trusting that what is meant to happen for you is going to happen for you in the time that it is meant for you. That's what these women did. They kept singing, they kept recording, they kept doing their thing, they kept going to their press stuff. And after 9 years, after 10 years, it stuck, it clicked, the time happened. And I don't know why. I don't know what lessons they had to learn or what growth they had to do in that time before these manifestations could meet them so that they could live them out fully as they were meant to be. But they had to happen. And in order for them to meet this success, and they could have given up. They could have said, I should be on tour by now. I've been doing this for 5 years. I should be. And they could have given up and said, it's taking too long. It's too late. I've been trying. I've done it all. And it's not happening. And I'm done. And what would we have missed out on? What would they have missed out on? It's not too late. You're on the right timeline. Trust the timeline when things are meant to happen. And in the meantime, while that timeline is working itself out, that's none of your business. Your business is to focus on you and your self-growth. And whatever your goal is that you're working towards, starting a business, getting married, creating the house of your dreams, doing renovations, I don't know, learning a new language, learning how to paint, becoming famous for whatever. Don't give up. Don't put yourself on a timeline. Every day, show up doing the next right thing, and your goal will meet with you when it is ready to meet with you. But that's not your business. Your business is yourself. So it's not too late. Don't be discouraged. Keep doing the damn thing. Oh, yeah. And I'm going to give a shout out to my friend Wendy. I think Wendy's in her 40s. I don't know exactly. And I heard her on a podcast the other day. And she's like, I've thought about making my own products and making my own company and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, look at Wendy in her 40s thinking about starting a business. She's not thinking it's too late. She's not thinking I'm too old. She's not thinking it's too far into the game. She's thinking, I want to do this, or I wanted to do this, and I might still do it, but probably not. It was one of those conversations. But the point is, she's in her 40s, a time when people would think, you're supposed to be settled into your career, doing the same career every day, settled into your family, bopping around, being happy with what you have, and just waiting until you die. But she's not thinking like that. She's thinking, I have some dreams, and I'm still thinking about how I'm going to execute them. Not, it's too late. Not, I'm too old. Not, I've aged out. And so many authors, same thing, wrote books, or didn't write their first good book until they were in their 50s. I think that was the case with Agatha Christie. Look to these people when you feel like you're confined by time, which is fake. Don't gossip. That's a hard one. Or at least try not to. And at least be careful, very careful, if you do. I know that gossip can be a lot of fun. And gossip is helpful. Gossip is, as I mentioned before with another piece of advice, likely evolutionary. We need to know what other people are doing, if they are our friends or if they are our enemies. We needed to know what they were doing to protect our tribe when we were tribal living, village living, and we needed to share that information with each other. That's not necessary today. And as tempting as it is to talk about other people behind their backs, we don't want people doing that about us. It's not fair. The people that we're talking about don't have an opportunity to defend themselves, just like we don't have an opportunity to defend ourselves or explain ourselves when people talk about us behind our backs. And if it comes back to you that you're talking shit about someone, that's not good looks. And I have been living by recently, in recent months, I will not say something about someone behind their back unless I am fully willing to say it to their face or have said it to their face, and say it to their face boldly. Maybe you should live by that too. But I was thinking the other day, situation, vague, was going to text my friend about it, kind of set out feelers, see if she felt the same way that I did, see if she was going to be willing to engage in that conversation with me. But then I was like, you know what? What if she doesn't? What if she doesn't want to engage in that conversation? What if she shuts it down immediately? I'm going to look like such a fucking dick. And I know most of the time I don't make decisions based on what people will think of me, but I was like, I'm going to sit this one out and just watch from afar, and I'm not going to gossip, and I'm not going to spread my frustration or giggles about someone that is doing something that I don't know the behind the scenes information about with someone else. Bad looks, unfair, bad karma. Trying really hard to stop doing that. That is a fresh lesson. And going with that, sometimes silence leaves you with the other hand. As someone who has almost always needed to have the last word in something, I am learning that the power is not in the last word. The power comes when you decide, this is no longer worth my energy. I'm over it. And you know who taught me this? Alex Cooper. And if you're a call her daddy girl, if you're a daddy gang, you know, when the whole breakup between Alex Cooper and Sophia, I don't even remember her last name. Sophia. Okay, now it's going to bother me. Sophia Franklin. When their whole breakup happened, and Alex Cooper dropped that YouTube video. You heard me talk about it on my podcast with Georgina. She dropped that YouTube video and she explained everything that happened. And I think maybe when she was going back on Call Her Daddy as solo father, single father, she had talked about a couple of the details with her mom. She had her mom on as a guest, and maybe a little bit with Lauren, but never talked about it again. Turned down interviews to talk about it, turned down podcast interviews to talk about it, has never mentioned it again. Moved on, did her own thing. Sophia made a whole podcast whose intro was based on the drama. Who talked about the drama constantly, complained about it, talked shit, was constantly fighting to make herself look better, was going on different podcasts to talk about it. Alex, silent. She said her piece and she never spoke about it again. And what does that look like to me? That looks like there's Sophia over there just swirling and dirling and all with her frazzled energy of having to defend herself and wanting to have the last word and wanting to control the narrative and wanting to get it back and wanting to get the attention back on her. And Alex is just like, I said my piece, I'm done. And look at her now. Successful, put her blinders on, not being held back by the drama. She's over it. She's mature. She's not going to be lowered to that level. She's silent. Sophia is trying her hardest to get the last word, and I'm sure it's died down now on her end, but for a very long time, it did not die down, and it was not good looks. When you're in an argument with someone, or you're having a disagreement with someone, and you yearn to have the last word because you know that you're right, and you want so desperately for the other person to see why they are wrong, just stop. They're not going to. Your silence, blocking them, not responding, let them deal with their own energy and swirl and dirl and work up a tizzy over there. That's not your business. Your business is you. If your energy is done and you've said your piece, whatever they say about you, whatever they do, that's over there. Your job, get back on track. Move forward, pursue your own success, and be done with it. And this goes back as far as middle school, at least for me. When I would like be texting guys or talking to guys, maybe this happened more in high school, talking to guys that I had a crush on, and you like send a text to them and you're so excited and they don't respond. Oh my God. The power is in their hands now. The ball is in their court. You are powerless. It is all on them now. And then what if they never respond? Oh my God, embarrassing. So yeah, sometimes having the last word, most of the time, actually, probably nearly all of the time, having the last word, not worth it. Silence, now that's a power move. Here's a piece of marriage advice, friendship advice, dating advice. Talk about resentment as soon as it comes. Resentment is the seed that grows into massive destruction. As soon as you start to look at your spouse, your partner, your friend, and start tallying up all the things that they're doing that piss you off, all of the things that they're doing that you don't do, as soon as you start tallying all of the good things that you've been doing and looking at your spouse or partner or friend, like, I am so much better than you. Why are you not on my level? Why are you acting this way? Why? And you start getting frustrated with them in your mind, having conversations and arguments with them in your mind about what they're doing, how they're not meeting your expectations, stop right there. That is your first sign. That is when you know you need to talk to them about it. Do not let it fester. Do not let it grow. Do not let it blossom into a seed of destruction, plant of destruction, if we're going with that metaphor. Robbie and I have a very, I recommend marriage counseling to everyone. We had marriage mentorship before we got married. We did like 3 marriage classes at church. We did a marriage class before we were even engaged. It helped tremendously with our communication. Whenever either of us starts to feel resentment toward the other, immediately we will walk to the other person. We'll say, I have to talk to you. We put our phones down. We turn off the TV. I have been feeling resentment toward you because X, Y, Z. The other person is not allowed to get defensive. And the person bringing this up, usually because we are mature, says, I recognize that this is a me issue, but I wanted to get it off of my chest because I didn't want it to fester. And I wanted to talk to you about ways that we can mitigate it and overcome it so that we can be living our relationship in harmony again. And most of the time, when you're feeling resentment or when you're feeling anger, that's a you problem. That's not the other person's problem. That's you to deal with. So most of the time, these conversations go, I have been feeling resentment towards you for XYZ. I don't want to feel resentful anymore, and I'm sorry. I think that if we changed this, things would be better. Or I would appreciate if you could start doing this. Like maybe I would appreciate if you could start emptying the dishwasher every morning when you wake up. That would help me a lot. And it would help out around the house. And it would make me feel less like I'm carrying the burden of the house. Okay, cool. Easy. I can do that. Don't let the resentment fester. Always talk about it, as awkward as it is. It'll become less awkward the more you do it. It'll become more natural. And always approach those conversations with a resolution. And here we are again, 54 minutes in and only got through 10 more pieces of advice. So we'll have a third episode. You're welcome. I know you love listening to me, but we have one more before we go. Number 20, keep your blinders on when it comes to work, when it comes to goals. I see this a lot with my own business with Young Living. I see this a lot with other podcasters. I see this a lot with content creation. It's so easy to compare ourselves. It's so easy to see how well someone is doing in their business and then compare it to us. It's so easy to see how successful someone else is in their business that is the same business that I'm in and compare yourself. And that's detrimental because then you build resentment, you build anger, you start getting frustrated with yourself, and you start moving forward in life with a desperate energy to reach them, to do better. And it's not coming from a place of wanting to do better. It's coming from a place of comparing yourself so that you can beat someone else. That is a low energetic, and whatever comes of that energetic is not going to last, is not going to be good, or is not going to come at all. When it comes to content creation, when it comes to podcasting, when it comes to creative endeavors, keep your blinders on. Comparing yourself to other people or comparing your content to other people is going to only stifle your own creativity, not set you apart, and result in copycat behavior. Not cool. As much as you can, practice identifying the difference between inspiration and copying, and practice as much as you can focusing on yourself when it comes to business, when it comes to goals, when it comes to achieving whatever it is. Are you better than you were? What is working well for you? What is not working well for you? How can we plug those gaps? How can we continue to emphasize and continue the success of what is going well? How can we innovate moving forward with those blinders on, like the horses when they're racing? They're not looking at the other horses next to them. That's a distraction. They have blinders on each side of their eyes, so they are only looking straight ahead. They're not comparing. They're only doing what they know to do. That needs to be you. But get your blinders on. Stop comparing. That's a low energetic. And while you have your blinders on, of course, we're going to see other people. We're going to see other people succeeding. We're going to see other people doing what we want to do. We're going to see other people hitting achievements that we want to achieve sooner than we achieve them, even if they have been doing it for a less amount of time than us. You need to celebrate them. You are not going to go down on yourself. That sounded sexual. You are not going to be down on yourself because of those achievements. You are going to celebrate those achievements. And instead of being jealous of that person, instead of being envious of that person, you're going to celebrate that person and see that person as an inspiration, not a comparison. Congratulations. You made an achievement that I wanted to achieve. You made an achievement quicker than I did. I want that. I have another person to look up to now. I have another person that I can go to and ask for their story. I have another person that I can ask for advice when it comes to this specific topic. And that's going to help me in my business, which is where my focus is. Me and my goals, me and my dreams or my training or whatever I'm doing. So keep those blinders on, babes. I'm going to come back probably tomorrow. Maybe not tomorrow. Actually, my mom's sleeping over tonight. Maybe Sunday morning. Record another podcast. Post it up again. And we're going to have two bonus episodes this week with all of my lessons in turning 30. And just me shouting at my computer in my dark office. I hope you're enjoying these. And you know what? If you're not enjoying these, I'm enjoying these. And that's what matters. It was so therapeutic to write these down. And it is so therapeutic to speak them out. And it is so therapeutic to speak them out because I need to be reminded of them too. And I need to work through them. So if you are here and if you are enjoying this and if you do listen to my podcast, I so deeply appreciate you. This is such a passion project of mine. I love talking to interesting people. I love talking through my thoughts. I love showing you this side of me that you don't necessarily fully all the time see on social media. And I'm glad for those of you that are here. This podcast takes a lot of work when it comes to recording, when it comes to editing, when it comes to finding guests. So if you're here, I so deeply thank you. If you could leave this podcast some kind of review, send it to a friend, share it on your Instagram story and tag me, I would be so delighted and giddy. If you are a woo-woo bestie like me and you're not already in our woo-woo bestie Facebook group community, please join. It is a beautiful community of almost 2,000 individuals, all on the woo-woo spiritual spectrum journey, that are non-judgmental, that are answering your questions, that are sharing their insights, asking questions, sharing recipes, sharing what's going on in their lives, sharing the new crystals that they bought, sharing the new things that they're learning. And it's just a beautiful community. And I can't believe it just came to fruition on its own. And if you are a lone woo-woo bestie like I was, or if you are dipping your toes into spirituality and want to know more but don't know who to ask because you fear that you're going to be judged, if you are on a spiritual journey and you have your spiritual babes and you just want more, or you just want to have a place where you can share your insights and your like fire cider recipes and your excitement and oil blends and rituals for the new moons and the full moons, please join the Woo Woo Bestie Facebook group. The link is in the bio. Please answer all of the entrance questions because I need to make sure everybody promises to be nice. And until next time, I hope you have the best days ever. I hope you enjoyed the wisdom, knowledge, and camaraderie that was shared today. If you enjoy this podcast and hanging out every week, make sure to subscribe to this show so that you never miss an episode. And if you really want to make my heart sing with joy, take a couple of minutes today to rate and review this show. In doing this, you're exposing the show to others that are just like you and just like me and would benefit from the information shared here as well. If we're not already connected, you can follow me on Instagram at woowoobestie_Susie, S-U-Z-Y, where I share more about my plant magic journey, spirituality, and knowledge about essential oils. I've also linked our Woo Woo Bestie Facebook group below if you're not already a part of it. It's a safe space for seekers of wisdom and those anywhere on their journey of spirituality. Ask your questions, share your moon rituals, learn from the collective wisdom of the woo-woo community. All are welcome, and I would love to see you there. I hope that you have the best week ever. Until next time.